takes a big man to do something he said he would never do. It takes an even bigger man to sell out for profit. I am both of those men. Welcome to D&D 5e Character Creation. We said we were going to do it one night only. Might be more, but probably just one night only. Next Friday, November 13th, we're going live with the lovely Anne Richmond, who will be running us through a 5e situation.
Yeah! For having me. You're in my house now, Troy.
Oh, no.
Saddle up.
How are you, Anne?
I'm doing great, guys. I'm just, you know, I'm just happy to be nominated. It's an honor, really. But really, honestly, this is so fun. I've been so excited to see all of the Naish out there getting excited about this and, you know, having fun all day. It's just been good vibes. We be vibing, fam, all day long and doing good together. So that's been really cool.
Yeah, speaking of doing good together,
to be part of it.
We've already raised $23,439 for our Extra Life team. Unbelievable. We set a goal of 20K, blew past it 4 hours into our marathon. And I think we can easily go past 30 if we keep cooking. It goes to an amazing cause. We've raised so much money for the kids. So please, let's see how far we can take this thing. Let's really just keep chugging up the ranks while we stream our faces off for the rest of the night. Now, Anne, I just assume that everybody knows who you are. I just assume that everybody listens to Androids and Aliens. If you don't know how we know Anne, I mean, she was the producer of Androids and Aliens when we went live, when we started going live from the studio. And then I'm pretty sure it was Anne's fault that a disease started ravaging the nation, causing
us
to shut down Androids and Aliens.
Weirdly coincidental. Those things really kind of lined up.
Let's just say there was no disease, and then Anne started working with us.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, worldwide pandemic.
Disease. Yeah.
You do the math. But
we love truth here.
Anne and Matthew go way back to acting school?
Yeah.
Yeah. We did all of the experimental theater wing things.
We rolled around the floor. We beat our fists against some rehearsal blocks.
We used our whole voices, not just part of the human breath. You know, we learned a lot. So glad we did that. We've known each other for a while. I've known Ellie for a shorter time, but it was weird. I was kind of orbiting you guys in this bizarre way. Until finally it just became an asteroid and just smashed and destroyed the world, apparently, with the Rona. So, you know, it was inevitable.
Jiro KM said, Typhoid Anne.
I hate that, but thank you. I'm happy to be here, I guess. Oh, God, this can only get worse. Great. Yeah. No, it's been super cool. And, you know, I've heard all the things that y'all have said about D&D. And you know what? Mama's here to make it all better for you, sweet babies.
Well, we need it. We need a little bit of mama's love. Because
I hate what I started already.
Too late.
Yes, and too powerful.
That is true.
We played a little bit of it when we started New Game Who Dis. And when I say we took maybe all of 10 minutes to look up the table of contents of character creation before we jumped in, that was about it. And we toyed around with it, and the D&D 5e purists out there were very unhappy with the way we callously played the game. And so I said, okay, well, let's give it a fair shot. Let's make it a Patreon goal. We crushed it immediately. And so I said, let's really give it a fair shot. So we're going to build legitimate characters tonight, and then next week you're going to take us through what already sounds like, and they don't know yet, exciting sesh. Where do we even begin here, Anne? We're going to be using D&D Beyond, which we did say in New Game Who Dis is an unbelievable character creation software. Like, we use Hero Lab. This is just a different ball game altogether, I think. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so D&D Beyond, strangely, is not actually from Dungeons and Dragons. Like, it's a separate company all on its own, but they have been doing a lot to take all the, you know, the D&D books that you love and bring them to a digital format so it makes this process less intimidating, which 5e has always been about inviting more people to the table while still giving people some of the flavor they were missing from the fourth edition experience, which really just felt like, to me, being kind. Kindness is key. Being in a video game where they were like, you have this many slots that, and no. But yeah, I mean, it just felt like, it felt too firm and not enough to wiggle. No wiggle room.
And for me, it was because that's how I dove back into role playing in general later in my time in New York City. And it was D&D 4E. And one of the things that jumped out to me was the, I think what you, correct me if this is what you're trying to, not what you're trying to say, but like the way the different classes all, like it was just renaming abilities that all essentially did the same thing. They worked the same way and they did the same level of damage for each class at each level, but it was just called like Whirlwind for a fighter, but it was, you know, Frostbolt for the wizard. But it was exact same rolls, exact same bonuses, exact same damage, exact same rules, you know, like, and that compounded level to level to level to where it felt a little bit video gamey, like you said.
Yeah, and honestly, we could talk about fourth edition, but I don't really want to. Like, I want to dive into fifth edition and why it's cool. And I think that kind of sets it up for what they're trying to do here, which is to look back at 3.5, right, and see what they liked about it, and also what was super uninviting to new players, and make it easy to roll up. And what D&D Beyond does is take it even a step forward so that you're not just handed a set of 10 books and said, make a character. Like that is also super intimidating for any TTRPG. So I think this is going to be an easy way to help you guys. I'm going to ask some questions that'll help you guys funnel down into what kind of ancestry or race that you want to choose and what kind of class you want to be. And then it will only show you the options available to you for that. And you won't have to go like looking around through a bunch of different things and flipping back and forth.
Thank
so that's,
God.
That's why I like it. Cause I know the game and I get super overwhelmed by that. So I think it'll be fun. So the first thing that I want to tell the Naish and you guys is that I want to theme this out. I love a one shot with a theme. And so I've already heard from Grant what he would like to be. But what I would like you to be thinking about is that each of you should be selecting one of the seven deadly sins to base your characters on. So pride, envy, gluttony,
so many
lust,
good ones.
Anger, slot. So many, and yet only seven.
I kind of want lust. Can I call lust?
Exactly seven.
So you can many. Have lust.
I'm calling lust. I don't know where I'm going with it, but it's going to be inappropriate.
I'm calling wrath. It just speaks to me so well.
He's done.
Matthew, you be sloth.
Fine. Challenge accepted. I will be sloth.
Okay, cool. What are you feeling, Skid?
Come back to me.
Okay.
Which one is that?
Yeah. the mysterious procrastination, one of them.
Procrastination. I guess.
Sloth?
No. So we have Matthew with sloth. Oh, we have Troy with lust. We have Joe with anger. You still have pride, envy, gluttony to choose from.
And I can give it up. Like, I could take pride. If you wanted, but I don't know if that's right, but I could, because I have a character in mind that I'm thinking of, and so I think I could spin it either way.
Okay.
But I'm down with wrath. I love a good wrath.
Gluttony sounds like a fun one. Real glutton.
Real disgusting.
Could be a pun for punishment.
And to help you with your choices, those of you who are still kind of mulling it over, I will also say that for funsies, y'all are going to be the villains.
What?
Ooh, hell yes.
But usually I'm the hero.
Are you ready to get nasty?
Well, that throws a wrench in my plan to be a good guy like I always like to play. Shit. Let me go to the interwebs.
Oh, he made a lawful good paladin, I can tell.
Damn it, Grant.
I'll choose pride.
I mean, former lawful good paladins make the best lawful evil paladins.
It's true.
It's just a thought.
Do they have those in 5e?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
You don't. It's not too complicated. You just from the heart, Joe.
Okay.
Make the heart evil, and then go from there.
It seems like Grant and Joe have fully formed characters. Yeah. I'm going in totally open. I have no idea where I want
to. No, and I could change around like based on what other people wanted to do, but mm-hmm. I wanted to come in with one concept so I didn't drag the show to a halt, LaValle.
Sure. Actually, that's probably best for you.
My preparation was to ask on our previous stream what I should play, and they told me.
What did they tell you?
They said I should play, what was it, Grant? It was a wild mage.
Or a storm sorcerer.
No. Okay.
Storm sorcerer sounds very Matthew. I saw that suggestion, actually.
Yeah.
I've received legal counsel on what to play directly from my attorney.
Right. Who is?
David Winters.
Okay.
David Winters, Esquire.
Him. To David.
Awesome.
Well, Grant, you've already started making your character, so while some of these guys think a little bit more about how they want to go about this, why don't you tell me what you're thinking so far?
Yeah, so mostly Joe may have started with a character concept. I started with a classic Grant Bergerism, which was a min-max type of character that would dominate the game. So mostly what I have locked in is that I want to be a warlock, semicolon, full colon, semicolon, the Hexblade. Pretty dope. Can you tell me a bit more about it? Because they're both two really strange sounding concepts to my small Pathfinder first edition brain.
You're already on Hexblade.
There's four more editions in this game.
How to play D&D. So the Hexblade is a really cool take on Warlock, where it takes Warlock from like a ranged striker to being able to step up into melee range and also, you know, use some of your ranged abilities as well. But you will have a packed weapon that you will summon from a demiplane given to you by your patron, who you can decide. We can talk about like who that might be, right? Mm-hmm. And you can use that to step up and melee with people and actually be a passable caster, kind of like a Blade Song wizard, if anybody knows that archetype, and be there. And you'll also get access to a bunch of spells that are going to make you like mage armor, and Armor of Agathys is another one that like beefs you up a little bit, because mm-hmm. obviously you're still a small boy who casts spells.
Well, let me take you. I'm going to take you to. I'm sharing a little bit of a screen from D&D Beyond now on the stream.
Please.
I picked out a Levistus Tiefling, and from what I understand, Levistus is the most hated archdevil in all of Hell. So I think I picked the perfect background for what you had in mind for us accidentally.
Okay, great, great, great. So
I'm already overwhelmed. I just want to throw that out there.
You're already overwhelmed?
Yeah, I'm still on the character preferences screen and Grant's buying equipment.
So, Grant,
we'll go back.
My sweet soft boy, hold on a second. Let's help little Troy get to the finish line here. No, I'm kidding. I love you.
What type of advancement? Milestone or XP?
So we're going to do fixed HP. We're going to do milestone progression.
Okay.
At the bottom of that first page, you're going to say make characters public, because no promises here, but we're thinking about trying to use the D&D Beyond extension during the game so that folks in chat can like see what's going on with everybody's character sheets. Oh, awesome. But for now, make it public.
I want no one seeing my sheet. It's my sheet.
My sheet. No one else can see it. I at least need to see it. So make it public. And the ability scores, when you get there, you're going to make that point by, but that's not something on that first page that you have to worry about.
So hit point fixed. And then I'm not using homebrew or Magic the Gathering content.
Don't use
turn
that.
Turn that off, Grant. Turn that off.
Nice try. I'm keeping myself honest. It's on screen now, Joe.
Get out
also,
of here.
I would say turn off Eberron content just to keep it a little. There are going to be a lot of choices out here for you. And I just don't want to make it too complicated. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. I wrote in my notes, turn Eberron content on. So I do want to make it too complicated for you.
I don't know what it is, but I don't like it.
Yeah.
That's Troy Valley in a nutshell right there.
I don't know what it is. So I don't like it.
I took you on a ride there. We are going to turn on that. We're not going to have on Critical Role content or Rick and Morty content or all the other stuff. It's too much I want to give these guys a classic 5e experience, which means all Faerun all the time, plus some Eberron for funsies spice if they want it.
Okay.
So here's the deal. Once you guys have made it past that first page and you're thinking...
We have to do the character name now, or can we do that later?
You can come back later. You don't need to... God. Okay, but I do see that Grant has chosen Adma as his name.
Adma?
Admar. You know what else I use? The random name generator so far.
Oh, wow.
I might change it later. I'm open too, to bro. It. And now that I have the concept of pride, I'm also thinking about greed. If greed's not taken, I'd love to take greed. But now that I have the concept of one of these deadly sins, Admar doesn't feel right for any of that. That sounds like someone who's there to save the day, and I'm not here for that.
Maybe he was once upon a time. So another thing to think about as villains is that I want you guys, this will help you kind of pick what classes you want to be too. Cause as a villainous adventuring party, you guys must have been trying to bring about something. Were you trying to like help a god advance to godhood? Were you trying to create a giant political coup? Like, I need to know these things and I need you to make that decision. I'm open to having you guys kind of make that choice based on where you feel like your ideas are fitting together.
I mean, it's so early in the concept. Could we maybe do more character creation first?
Yeah, could we maybe like do some character creation?
Yeah, and, because I think then we can maybe reverse engineer like some of our motives
are. Let's start then. So we have a warlockery happening over with Grant. We have a sorcery happening with Matthew. Matthew, have you decided do you want more information about wild magic versus... What was your other option? Storm sorcerer?
Yes. What are they?
Yeah.
And are either of them particularly slothful?
Well, if I were to choose between the two of them, I would say that wild magic is probably more slothful because it's total chaos. And it just sometimes keeps you from getting where you're going. Sometimes makes you do something you don't want to do that advances you too fast. But it will mess with how... things are going at any amount of time. So,
that sounds perfectly perfect for a sloth character.
Yeah. So that could be good for you. The things that are cool, I'm just pulling up some notes here about wild sorcerers in 5th edition. So they have this feature called Wild Magic Surge. So this starts at level 1. Your spellcasting can unleash torrents of untamed magic on a random rolling generator. So immediately after you cast a sorcerer spell of first level or higher, so not if you cast cantrips, but if you cast other things, you or I will roll a d20, whichever you want. If you roll a 1, then you're going to roll on the Wild Magic Surge table and a random magical effect occurs. We can also house rule it if you want. If you choose to cast any spell, you can create that wild magic effect. But I think that makes things a little too chaotic for everybody else. So I'm going to suggest we stick with rules as written, but it is something that sometimes people choose to do.
Well, I defer to your judgment on that one, Anne.
Okay.
Yeah, you are the GM, so it really is your call, and I'm so glad it is. But just be aware that Troy hates...
Random?
The word homebrew. If you just say the word, he cringes.
He hates it.
Inside,
so I can already tell how upset he is.
You guys can't tell, but I pooped my pants.
Oh, my goodness.
Just in silent protest, I sat here and I pooped my pants. And I'll sit in it for the next 2 hours. Just... out of anger.
To avoid thinking about all of that, they also get Tides of Chaos, which is where you basically, to get advantage, you can basically pay by letting me roll on the chaos table. So you'll get advantage on your current... on your current attack roll, ability check, or saving throw, but once you do, which means you roll twice and take the higher of the two, right? But once you do that, you can't use that feature again until you sleep, like, overnight in a long rest.
Okay.
And it will give me the ability to create a wild magic surge. Yeah, so those are the two things that you'd have to worry about. We're going to be rolling characters to level 5.
Baby!
Wow. But those are the two major things that you're going to have to worry about. Where we're going,
sweet.
You're going to need it.
All right, I think I'm ready to make some decisions here.
Okay. Oh dear. Oh no.
I'm going to be a Goliath fighter named Bodhi Butterplug.
Well, that's two Goliaths. Cool.
That's cool. Want to be brothers?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Brother and sister.
All right. Which one am I?
You're Bodie sounds like the dude to me. I'll be the big sister.
So your last name has to be Butterplug as well, unless you took a different last name.
Thank you for the last name.
Yes. You could be Beatrice Butterplug.
Oh, my God.
Anne.
Yeah, that's just a lot. Yes, please. Distract me from that.
While the Butterplugs hash it out, for a wild mage, I'm looking at backgrounds and ancestries right now. So, what's the key ability score I should be on the lookout for?
Sure. So you're actually going to be rolling a sorcerer, and sorcerers use primarily charisma as their casting attribute.
Right. So same as Pathfinder.
Same as Pathfinder. A lot of this stuff is going to be very, very similar. It's just what
especially
it's called.
2E.
Yeah, it's what it's called that's going to be a little bit different. So you guys will actually be, I mean, I find, like, reverse engineering it when I'm playing on my Starfinder show that, like, I'm like, no, things don't work that way, but that's just me not realizing, like, the slight differences between what Paizo is doing and how they're measuring things out in, like, small increments and modifiers versus rolling with advantage and things like that. So once you start feeling that in process, it's all going to feel a little bit easier, but it will be very, very familiar.
Well, then I'm glad you said charisma, because I think I'm going to go with a changeling.
Ooh, you love a changeling.
You love a good changeling.
Okay, I love changelings, and I'm just really happy right now. I'm just happy to be here. Okay. Yes, a changeling, wild magic sorcerer, chaotic AF. Loving it. Loving it. You'll love the way you look. We guarantee it. Okay. So, Joe, I'm coming back around to you because you look a little scared.
Yeah, Troy really threw a wrench in my plan that I had had. I had had that plan.
Yeah.
For like 3 to 4 minutes. And now I don't know what to do.
I'm gonna
throw
you have up, that plan? Speak.
I'm going to throw up all the races on screen to see what Joe is contemplating now, because he clearly doesn't want to be.
Oh, wait. I didn't even look at the character sheet. I was looking at something else. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'll tell you, going in, I wanted to try out the D&D 5e Paladin. That's sort of all I was going to do. But I didn't want to. I wanted to see what sort of. One of the first things I read was that they're not all lawful good. So I was thinking more of a chaotic good paladin. Yeah. And just like they did in 2E. And so I just wanted to see how it worked in 5E. That was my idea.
Well, so you can still do that. Just be a good guy who is fell in with the wrong folks. Like
No. Now that I immediately did a search, I saw a little something that jumped out at me.
All right. Tell me more.
Oh, my God. It's called The Oath of Conquest.
Yes! Sorry, I love
I was
it.
Like, that sounds pretty bad. Yeah. And I went to it, and it's like a paladin who is trying to take over the world and become a tyrant, essentially.
Yeah.
And I was like, and then the artwork is astoundingly awesome.
Yes.
And I was like, this could be really cool. So then I just was like,
what do I mean?
What's a huge, strong, terrifying creature? And I just saw a Goliath. I also thought about what you had sent me some suggestions. And one of the things you mentioned was centaur, which I thought was amazing.
So,
but I just want to make sure that I'm min-maxing. I don't want any flavor.
Another thing that go with me on this ride.
Okay. I'm with you. I'm buckled
in. An angel person who hath fallen from grace.
Mm-hmm. I like
would
it.
May I present to you the option of Asimar?
Asimar.
Oh, yes, Asimar.
Beatrice, don't leave the family. Yeah. We Butterplugs are a proud people.
She can be adopted.
That is interesting. I just to be honest, I was excited at pursuing a non-Pathfinder race.
Listen, just live because, your life.
Just because, like, I had no idea it was like this. Like, when we did our first, John, it was just the core, essentially, because we didn't have any of the stuff that you have. I had no idea that there were so many options. And the fact that you could play a centaur, that's just really cool.
Centaurs are lit.
But are they going to be a little weak? They're going to be weaker than an Asimar for... combining with paladin abilities.
Let me just look at them real quick because I can't remember off the top of my head every single stat bonus for every race in the game. Okay, Centaur 5e.
Guess we got the wrong host.
I know. Guess she's not a real nerd. Fake nerd. Fake nerd alert.
What's war for? What's a war? A juggernaut. It comes under something called Warforged. What is that?
Looks like a construct. Like you wouldn't that. It's like sci-fi, I think.
Yeah, Warforged are like sentient robot people from Eberron, which I'm gonna urge you against because we don't have. I guess like I'm not gonna say no. I'm just gonna say that is a super Eberron-y thing as opposed to changelings, which also exist as doppelgangers in Faerun.
Yeah,
because. Eberron is kind of like a whole other world, whereas some things from Eberron exist in Faerun, but others kind of don't. But also, I'm happy to let you do it, and we'll say it does.
Where are you
it doesn't
guys,
matter to me.
Where are you guys seeing these advanced? I don't see all these backgrounds. Is there a special drop-down that I missed in the character setup?
Did you join the campaign as Anne asked us to?
I did.
Did you join first and then create your character or make a character and then join it?
All right, I'm restarting my character.
Yeah, I'm not seeing all this cool
classic.
Where are you seeing all this stuff?
Very clear instructions.
Listen, I was so the first one in there. I got to tell you. And you did not correct me at the time, Anne.
I know, I didn't, because I thought that you had made the choices that you had made, which would still be available. How was I to know, Grant?
You gotta get used to that.
Okay.
You know what? I'm starting over.
I'm used to it. No. Took me 2 moments, but I'm used
to it. Wait, Troy, are you throwing your character away?
No, I'm keeping the character. I've made a slight change, but I'm not seeing all these options that you're seeing, and I don't know why.
I think it's the same thing I just said.
I'm going to multi-class, though. I'm going to be Fighter 3, Wizard 2. Because... that's the butter plug way.
Okay. Sure. Okay.
And here's another question. We'll let him rethink that. So you said something to me that was really interesting during our technical check, which was you said, oh, yeah, you know what? I don't see Centaur on this list.
Okay. So Centaur, let me see here. Why wouldn't it be? Is it on my list?
In either case, you mentioned something about an arcane archer, which sounded really cool, too. And is there any logical way to combine a paladin and an arcane archer? What subtype is an arcane archer of? Is it a fighter?
Yes, it's a fighter. It's a fighter. You know, maybe it's in one of those things that I turned off. Maybe I'm a bad girl. I don't see it here. Give me 1 second. Let me see if I turn on something.
I can look for it as well.
I'm joined into your thing, and I still am not seeing all these cool bonus things. So I've decided that you just wanted Joe to build a more powerful character.
That's it. I was against you from the start, Lavalle. That's so weird. Yeah, I don't know why it's not showing up.
Okay, I see it on, I just Googled it, and it says it's under Ravnica races.
Okay, so that's from Magic. So I guess turn Magic the Gathering content.
Oh, it's from Magic the Gathering.
Yeah.
Well, does that make our game not legitimate?
You'd still be legitimate. The reason you don't have it is because I don't have the Ravnica book. That's why it's not on there.
Well, then I'm out.
So then, I'm sorry. There's only so many books that I can have.
All right, it's all good. You know what? I'm just going to stick with this. I'm going to stick with the Goliath idea. I'm starting to form an idea. I think it's funny and fun. And I'm going to go melee paladin with a
melee
Goliath.
Paladin. Okay, great. So I think that's a good way to swing it. Paladins are great. You're going to want your primary stat to be strength or charisma, but charisma is going to, I would say, make it strength. Right? And secondary charisma, only because you're mostly going to be up there trying to hit things, and your spell slots will usually get used, in my experience, mostly to cast Divine Smite, which is once you hit something, you can add D8s in of radiant damage based on which spell slot you're using to cast it.
Okay.
The spell slot system is very, very similar to Pathfinder and Starfinder.
Okay. Okay,
so
cool.
You'll recognize that.
Okay. Cool.
Great. Okay. So we're making progress. Skid, are you okay?
Yeah, I had a character concept in mind, but one I was going to be a warlock, which I think is taken.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be a drow, but I'm looking at the page
thing, and there's no drow
listed, so.
Listen, David Winters is not actually accredited as an attorney in New York State, so I'm willing to give up Warlock for something else.
I don't want
to
expose myself to any legal jeopardy by taking... So I don't have to... I could be a cleric.
I see it. But you could be a cleric. I don't know why drow isn't on here. What would drow be in? Who knows?
They're saying Villainy says drow is under elf.
Yeah.
It says eight sub-races, and it's not there.
Oh. Elf? Maybe that's another book.
Elf.
Joe, where are you seeing all those cool options?
They're just classes? Look at, it's there. It's it, when you click Dark Elf, it should be the first one.
No, I searched for a Paladin guide, the D&D 5e Paladin guide.
Where are you
guide.
Seeing it like on here as a selectable thing?
I'm not. I'm just looking at races that are on this guide. That's all I was looking at so far.
Oh, I thought you were seeing content that we were able to pick that is... I don't know what the fuck's going on. I got a wizard fighter. I'm already dead.
No, you're fine. You're fine. It's going to be great. Okay.
That's so weird that drow's not there.
You don't see Dark Elf?
No, there's no word dark on this page.
Oh, that's weird. I see it. Why do I see it? Strange. Well, then you can't be it, because apparently it's in somebody else's stuff they're sharing with me.
It might be the same issue I had. So it might be worth trying to start a new character by clicking
start
anew? I'll send you the link, Skid.
Yeah, okay. I definitely see Dark Elf, Skid. So maybe just a reset. But what's the concept? It's a drow what?
Well, I don't know now.
Okay. Oh, because it was going to be drow warlock. Got it.
Right. I'm thrown into chaos. Yeah, yeah. I feel you. It's okay. We have time. Okay, so Troy, talk to me about your sweet child, this fighter with some wizard thrown in for reasons I could never begin to understand. But
fighter
help
with
me.
Two levels of wizard dip. Bodhi, Butterplug. Goliath. I know nothing about him, but I know he is very lustful. so I've decided, just to make sure that it's appropriate for, you know, the fact that he's going to be evil and lustful. I don't want to stir anything here.
Mm-hmm.
He has a sexual attraction to inanimate objects.
Perfect.
That's going to be his thing. So evil. I don't want him doing anything he's not supposed to do. But
man,
when he sees a couch that is just sitting there, he can't control himself. And it gets...
Give me one second.
It gets weird.
Just refer to my notebook. Remove all furniture from...
Doesn't have to be a couch.
It'd
be a lamp.
Remove all play in a void. That's what we're doing. We're playing in a void.
You can't take out all the trees from your adventure.
You're right. I can't do it. I can't and I won't, because frankly, I live for this idea. If only because you'll die so quickly. That's an interesting... How are you going to do your attributes, Troy? I ask you curiously.
Well, now people tell me I should check out Eldritch Knight.
Yes. So,
where do you even find that?
Okay.
I'm sorry. I yelled.
Sweet boy. Let me sing you a lullaby about the Eldritch Knight you're going to make, and everything's okay and fine here in this cocoon of love and happiness. Yay! Okay. So here's what's going to happen. You in your as you level up, it's at level 3. It's going to give you like a path to choose. And that's when you would choose Eldritch Knight, I believe.
But I want to pick an archetype now, Anne.
Okay, you to get some levels first. I'm sorry, mommy loves you.
Mommy, what base class would I have to choose in order to get Eldritch Knight?
You would have to be a fighter, my dearest dove.
All out. So I'll start up fighter, I'll toss 3 levels in there before I go for that wizard dip. Then I get, martial archetype.
I think
Eldritch
what people
Knight.
Are trying to suggest to you is you might not feel you need to multi-class if you take the Eldritch Knight.
Is that going
to
let me cast spells?
It will, I believe.
Then I'll do that. The people have spoken. Butterplug shall be an Eldritch Knight.
Okay,
sir,
great.
Bodhi Butterplug.
Sir,
why
Butterplug.
Do you fill me
fill
up?
Me a-
Butterplug,
just to let me down.
I'm now looking at the spell list.
I'm an Eldritch Knight. And in the fight. Oh, I don't know the words, and I'm just rhyming. Okay, so
I'm now looking at the spell list for the sorcerer, and I there's a lot of spells here.
Yeah. Talk
Skip
to me
it.
About that.
skip it.
So we'll move on to spells in a tiny bit, because then I can explain it to everybody at the same time. Feel free to look through your spells and see like kind of what's talking to you. But I'll talk about that when we all get to that stage. Okay. So let me look here. We're looking at fighter. We're looking. I'm just making one too, because I've never made an Eldritch Knight before, and I just want to know. I want to know. Can you show me? All right, there we go. All right, spell casting. When you reach third level, you augment your martial prowess with the ability to cast spells.
Yep.
Cool. So you're going to get two cantrips. You'll get the Eldritch Knight spell casting table will show you how many spells you can cast, and it will just give you wizard spells. Perfect. This is exactly what you wanted.
And since we're going to be fifth level, I'll know two cantrips and three first level, but I can only know four.
Four spells total. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I basically... I know two cantrips. I know four total spells, but I've allowed three first level spell slots.
Yeah, so you can know four spells, but you can only cast three spells per day.
Gotcha.
You can cast one of those spells three times. You can cast two of one spell, one of the other.
Okay.
Two elves behind the barn with a spell. I don't know. But you can basically use your spell slots that way.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Spell casting, you want, is intelligence important? Same as Pathfinder?
It says yes. So you're gonna like need DCs. To yeah. You're probably gonna want to go with a strength intelligence build if you're skewing thinking. That way, because your spell saves are gonna be based on your intelligence, and your proficiency bonus is also for your spell attack is going to be added to your intelligence modifier. So I would say definitely make strength your primary stat, because you're gonna want to be up close hitting things. Running, jumping, climbing trees, maybe a little bit more given your proclivities.
Okay.
But yeah, you'll want the secondary stat to be intelligence.
My fighting style will be great weapon fighting.
Great.
Is that just like an enormous berserk type like guts sword?
Yeah, so you'll want to have like a great axe or a glaive. Like you'll want like a big martial weapon.
That's what I want.
Yeah,
but that's two handed, right? Probably
it is.
Will I still be able to like cast spells with that? Am I not? Is that not smart way to go?
You'll be able to. It's not the thing about this. Like, is
that's fine. Is that what it is?
Yeah. It's not going to be like, you have to drop it on the floor so you can cast your spell. Like, it's just like, why are we making things so hard?
Right.
Is a lot of what D&D 5th edition does, is just to say, like, within the realm of reason, why are we making this so hard?
I get that.
Yeah. Okay. Joe, you're on mute if you're trying to say something.
You're right. There's a dog howling outside. I was trying to spare everybody.
Ignored. I was not ignoring you. I just could not hear your sweet words.
Not at all.
Okay. Great. Okay. So we're moving along. So far, so let's see. We've got an Eldritch Knight. We've got a wild magic sorcerer. We've got a paladin. Yeah, we don't have a ton of healing, which is fine. It's a one shot.
That is our way.
That is our way.
But you have some, right? Because you're going to have Joe for some lay on hands, and depending on Joe's spells.
Is there anything in 5e that's like, if you are a fallen paladin, like an evil aligned paladin, that like your lay on hands is dark and doesn't heal the living or anything like that?
That's not, I don't believe that's a thing. I certainly have never experienced it. It's basically like all of your abilities are granted by each god, and some gods are evil. You can describe how that manifests itself, but a dark god would still want you to heal its soldiers. So I think the gods are assuming that if you are a paladin fighting for them, you will choose people to fight by your side, and you will choose how to use that healing power to drive your god's cause.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Skid, if you still are thinking about Warlock,
I have a different idea.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I'm ready to go.
Okay, Skid. Talk to me, baby.
So my character is a drow barbarian. I'm taking a sloth of sin.
Nice.
Okay.
and he is going to pretend. He tells everybody that he has narcolepsy, but it's just an excuse for him to nap constantly.
Uh-huh.
And his name is Mordenkainen T. Bigby.
Mordenkainen.
But not that Mordenkainen.
No. See, he was like, what's a human name? What's popular up here in the overworld?
Famous guy in his Tome of Foes.
No. I'm sure that's like a common popular name. I hear it all the time. So Mordenkainen T. Bigby.
Okay, great. All right.
So would you like me to choose a different sin, Anne?
I would like everybody to have their own sin.
I didn't know you would pick. Never mind.
You keep it.
We can switch it up.
Matthew, stop trying to steal all of Skid's things.
Oh my God!
First it was Warlock. Now Grant, the sin.
Pride and envy.
Grant took
pride
and envy.
Yeah, I boys, started stealing.
Boys, you can all be evil. It's okay. All right. Pride and envy are the ones that are left, I believe, and gluttony.
Gluttony.
I'm going to type my full name in the chat right now because I'm really enjoying it. It's Sir Bodhi Butterplug, the Lustful.
I hate it. I literally hate it.
Lover of chairs and lamps.
Yeah. Oh, God. He was doomed from the start, Troy, due to your choices. No, I'm not like that. I'm excited about this group here. This is shaping up good.
I will take envy.
Envy.
Okay.
Okay. Love it. Love it. All right. So let's think about this here. We've got Joe. What race did you choose?
I'm freaking out, man. I'm freaking out.
Are you okay? Okay. Okay, sweet boy.
There's so much to do. And I was looking at the great weapon fighter style, just like mm-hmm. Trick. It's the same thing for paladins. And I was like, just get that giant weapon. And now he's doing that. And Skid's doing a barbarian. And it's all. I don't think we need more damage dealing in melee. So I'm trying to see if I can maybe sword and board it. Or is that going to take away from... But then I started looking at this other oath called Oathbreaker. Did you see this?
Yeah. Did you see this? Did you hear about this?
Terrible novel, by the way.
Yes.
God damn it.
Unreadable. Unreadable.
So basically, I could go one of two ways. I had this Oath of Conquest idea as soon as I saw it. I was like, oh, well, this just writes itself. The Oathbreaker is a little bit harder to write, but it's something I have always wanted to do and never have. Now, you can also just tell me no, flat out no, because it could be an awful pain in the ass maybe for a one shot. But it's basically like a fiendish necromancer anti-paladin. So you get like animate dead and you can like control undead.
Yes.
And you can use it on fiends too. It says one thing I read was like, check with your DM if you can make this stuff more fiendish rather than undead.
Yeah.
So that it fits your character like a Blackguard of Asmodeus is what they said.
I love that. I love that. I say yes.
Cool.
I have spoken.
All right. I'm kind of it.
Okay.
I want to see how this all works. Dude, this looks like it could be really like deep and complicated, like controlling all these undead and multiple. Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of interesting.
Well, it'll all depend on sometimes with paladins, it's a little bit rough because you are going to have to choose between blasting damage, right? Mm-hmm. Which is really what paladins do best is just burst damage all at once or taking the time to reassess the battlefield and change things up for everyone. That's mm-hmm. I play two paladins because I have a problem. It's like it's not about me, but like I have god issues. What can I say? but
well, then I would like to take your advice. So you think that Oathbreaker is cool?
I think it's cool. I haven't ever played one myself, but I've been thinking. I've been tossing around the idea. I'm excited to have you play it if that seems cool to you, because then I'll get to experience it a little bit.
Yeah, it seems like it's a... Like, it would be tough to play in a standard party, like in a good party.
Well, that's
party.
Kind of
it's
why
kind of a tough character to
I
play.
Wanted to present these options to you, because I know you guys are typically doing these adventure paths, which kind of like the conceit there is that you're a band of heroes trying to get it done. And so I want to give everybody, you know, the chance to do something in a one shot that's new, right? That's something I feel really passionate about. Because, you know, the F it, it's a one shot mentality is like my jam. Like, I want everyone to play like nobody's watching.
but they all are, man. And they remind us. They always remind us they're watching.
But yeah,
we really shouldn't play like nobody's watching. That would know be from
very,
experience.
Very bad.
Yeah. For sure.
Okay, so looking at the fighting styles, great weapon fighting is what I was going to do. Might still do that. But there's also dueling. It says extra damage when you've got a one-handed weapon and nothing else.
Yeah.
So a fencing fighter or a sword and board style paladin.
Yeah. So
having a shield doesn't count as having something else. You can have a sword and shield and get extra damage if you're dueling style.
Exactly. So dueling style is very cool. I have a dueling style paladin in a game that I'm running, and she does the very like French thing of having like a rapier and a buckler.
A buckler, yeah.
So cool. She's quite graceful as a paladin compared to like the rah aesthetic of many paladins of the past.
Right.
So let's talk about this barbarian a little bit more, Skid. Mm-hmm. So have you, in D&D Beyond, have you started adding levels to that yet?
I did, yes.
Okay. So what path do you want to take this barbarian down? I'm actually going to build a barbarian here as well so that I can...
For him, whatever requires the least effort on his part.
He's already method. He's so method.
Yeah, just like what if there's a conceptually like easiest path, like that is definitely the one. Like the reason he became a barbarian in the first place, one of the reasons is it was an excuse to not have to put on clothes all the time. It's such a huge pain in the ass. Like I just put on a loincloth, I go out. I'm a barbarian. It's professionally, it's fine.
Sure. Well, let me give you some guidance here. Battle Rager is dwarves only. What did you? You're going to be a drow barbarian?
Yeah.
Okay, let's think here. Sorry for my gentle quietness.
No
I don't
problem.
Know as much about barbarians.
I actually want to throw it out to the chat. Just tell me what you guys think. Is there a huge difference between going great weapon and dueling in a paladin? Does it not matter? Or do you guys think that there really is a legit huge boon to doing great weapon?
Doodle Dump says dueling is better. I trust Doodle Dumps.
Doodle Dumps has never led us wrong.
Never. Why would they start now?
Okay. Let's see. Let's look at the Zealot. What is the Zealot? That seems kind of cool.
Ooh.
Starting when you choose this path at third level, you can channel Divine Fury into your weapon strikes. When you're raging, the first creature you hit on each of your turns, and you'll get two attacks, I believe, at level 5, with a weapon attack, takes extra damage equal, to 1d6 plus half your barbarian level. So they would take 1d6 plus 2 damage, and the extra damage is necrotic or radiant you choose.
Well, you see, I'm kind of focused on the word zealot. That implies an amount of mental effort that he would never expend.
Okay, great. I hear you. Let's try something else. How about the berserker? At third level, you choose this path. Starting now, you can go into a frenzy when you rage. If you do so, for the duration of your rage, you can make a single melee attack as a bonus action. So you get 3 attacks every turn instead of 2.
Now, you see, the word frenzy implies an amount of physical expended energy that, again, I don't think
would you like to be a level 1 barbarian?
Yes. Just,
can
I'm you just
a
be
level
nothing?
One.
Can you just
I'm just,
be
a... I'm just a commoner in a class world.
Just a guy in a loincloth. That's all he is.
Just a guy here. Okay, yeah. So I mean, as a slothful character, let me just be very real with you. You're gonna have to do something sometime, my dude.
Both of these options just don't feel right. What are the options?
I'm going through another one. It's called Storm Herald. In Storm Herald, it just emits an aura around you while you rage that extends 10 feet from you in every direction, but not through cover. Okay. Your aura has an effect that activates when you enter your rage, and it will allow you to do one of 3 effects, based on what you choose. You have desert, sea, and tundra. to the people who you choose in that area. So for desert, with this effect activated, everything in your aura that you choose would take 2 fire damage each just by standing by you, which you don't even have to do. It's just, it just happens, right? For sea, when that effect is activated, you choose one other creature you can see in that 10-foot aura around you. They have to make a dexterity save, and if they fail, they take 1d6 lightning damage on a failed save. That just happens. And then tundra, when this effect is activated, every creature of your choice in your aura gains 2 temporary hit points as icy spirits inure it to suffering. Cool. That's so cool.
We can't. I couldn't do Path of the Beast. That's Unearthed Arcana. Is that right?
Yeah. That is not a thing, unfortunately. Okay. Yeah.
Ancestral Guardian. That sounds like something.
Ancestral Guardian. All right. So at 3rd level, you choose this path. Okay. Starting when you choose this path, spectral warriors appear when you enter your rage, and while you're raging, the first creature you hit with an attack becomes the target of the warriors, which hinder its attacks. Until the start of your next turn, the target has disadvantage on attack rolls that aren't made against you.
Okay. Yeah, that's it. That's the one.
You're so like, I don't need to try. My haunted, ancestors are here.
Right. He's haunted by the ghosts of his ancestors, mm-hmm. who are all incredibly disappointed in him.
I love that. Yes, this is a good choice. I like it.
By the way, we just passed 24,000.
Amazing, guys. Thank you so much.
Chugging along. We'll hit 25 by the end of the show, and then maybe 30 by the end of the night. Let's keep going for a great cause.
Keep pushing.
Yeah,
thank you, guys.
Thank you. Amazeballs. Oh, hell yeah.
I've gotten into ability scores and personality traits. I'm not going to lie. I already can see this guy.
That's great. That's the idea. Okay, so everybody's kind of getting there, it feels like. Is there anybody who feels anxious, nervous, has questions? Grant.
Could I run just a couple of my choices? Because Warlocks make some pretty huge choices.
Yeah.
Basically, proficiencies, Arcana, Deception makes sense to me. My otherworldly patron with whom I've struck a bargain is the Hexblade.
Well, so we're gonna choose. So you are a Hexblade, right?
Correct.
As deemed by your patron, right? So we need to figure out who that patron is, which is kind of a more open-ended question.
I was thinking that I would be very proud of my heritage, and I would worship Levistus if I could, since I descended from him.
Great.
And I would
love
run
that.
I think that I'm going to basically make him as a concept on like LeVay Satanism. So I'm giving him, his name is Anton LeVay's middle name, Xandor. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. he's just going to run like a Levistus worshiping cult that's very greedy. He wants to get as many things as he can with it. So he's picking for his Eldritch invocations, which I guess is like the big kind of choices.
Mm-hmm.
Agonizing Blast, Armor of Shadows, and One with the Shadows.
Yeah, I definitely would make sure that you have something in there like Armor of Shadows, because you're still a caster in a melee person's world.
Right.
So you're going to want to do whatever you can to beef yourself up a little bit.
Great. So, and then the cool thing is the shadow theme lets me, if I'm in an area of dim light or darkness, I can use an action to become invisible until I move or take another action or reaction, which sounds awesome.
Yeah.
And then
sunlight everywhere. No, okay.
Oh, damn it. No furniture.
Not a shadow to be seen.
Sunlight everywhere.
It's high noon. There will be shadows.
And then, I'm going to make a boon with the Pact of the Blade, which will allow me to create a pact weapon in my empty hand. So very, very cool. This is
what
very
is your
exciting.
Pact weapon look like? What are you feeling? What are you thinking?
I'm thinking something that would cause great suffering. So I'm thinking like kind of a, I know Troy has lust, but I'm thinking of kind of like an S&M style whip with some chains at the end of it.
Ooh, what is that called? A barbed whip?
Yeah, like some paddle. Maybe it's just a paddle. That's what it looks like. And I spank my enemies as hard as I can.
Oh my God. Okay. This is already getting away from
Xandor,
me.
Xandor really enjoys battle. Yeah, let's put
I'm
it
sorry,
that way.
Man.
I guess this is skewing away from evil and just into naughty.
Let me see that paddle when you're done. I see a sexy ottoman over there. I'd like to give the business. Get over here, son of a gun.
Oh my god.
Can I ask, what is our ability score generation method?
So your ability score generation method is going to be point buy. This because it's just like everything else is just a little too random or a little too not in my control, right? As a player. So I think point buy gives you guys the ability to like choose the classes and races or ancestries that you want and kind of, you know, move around within that. I also think that it should be noted that with Tasha's Cauldron of Hideous Laughter coming out soon, that but not in time for us to use, they have gone to great trouble to make it so that you don't have to use racial bonuses. If you want to build something that you like, it will give you the tools to do that with any race, so that there's not that inherent belief that one person based on their origin is better at one thing or another than another, depending on, you know, what you choose, which is really cool. A really cool set of rules that they're releasing if that's what you want to do. So definitely look into that when it comes out. Hashtag not sponsored, but look into it.
So do we all have 27 points at fifth level?
Yes,
switched it to, okay,
you will.
Got it. So I have that up on screen now, so everyone else can see. I know everyone's will be different, but
the other thing you're going to want to think about also is that at fourth level, you're going to be able to pick either a feat or up your ability scores.
Yeah, what do you recommend doing there? I was looking at that. Like, should we take feats or should we up ability scores? Like,
I took ability scores because I didn't want to read through feats.
Yeah, that seems exhausting.
As much as we could go back and forth with stuff, because you guys are already jumping in at level 5, I'm going to suggest that you guys go with bumping your attributes, because you're already going to have plenty to pay attention to. So pick some scores and up them, then you don't have to think about anything new. Of course, like, if I'm advising people on the stream who are like thinking about how do I level a class, I would say definitely look into it. There are things that can be great, having a sentinel so people can't get away when they're trying to, you know, get away from you, and you get to take an attack of opportunity. It means they stay where they are. Like, there are lots of really great ones. You can also get great weapon fighting if that's not available to you as a fighter or a paladin. You can get stuff like that through feats. So for those of you who are very used to second edition Pathfinder and Starfinder, which are very feat heavy, right, every other level, this is certainly a way to kind of like get some of that into D&D, but you just don't get it as often. You get it like every 4 levels. You have a chance to either raise your attributes or raise your feats. It's kind of like, if I were to compare it, it's like when I have played, and primarily in the Paizo world, I'm playing Starfinder, like, it becomes all about these blossoming, ballooning numbers that end up going over 40 eventually, right? Like, sometimes every once in a while, D&D gets to that. Once you get over like level 10 and you're, you know, rolling with all sorts of magical weapons involved and things like that. But generally, you're just adding a number that is 10, around 10 or less, to whatever you've rolled on your 20-sided dice. So it doesn't kind of balloon like that in the same way.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about this? Now, it seems like going straight paladin for 5 levels and getting to that 5th level is pretty clutch, because you get an extra attack, which I imagine is pretty huge.
Huge.
But as somebody who may be letting, you know, the barbarian and the fighter do the bulk of the work while maybe spending some rounds either laying on hands or animating dead, I'm wondering if it might not be pretty cool, because of the charisma crossover, to take a dip in warlock.
You taking that warlock dip?
Little warlock dip?
I was reading.
A fiendish warlock with a fiendish oath-breaking paladin.
I mean, how do you think he broke his oath?
Is it just stupid?
It's not. It's everything, Joe. You read my list of things I like, and that's on it. So don't pretend like you thought I wouldn't like it. You know I like it.
Oh, man.
I just... I just got a level. It sounds like I just went to the outlets. I just picked up a level of warlock on my paladin, and I couldn't recommend it more. But I couldn't. It's great. It's good story wise. I think for you, as far as like tying that into your oath breaking, I think there's a very clear reason
as to how you broke your oath. So originally, I'm going to say she. Originally, she. Yeah. Troy's character's sister, perhaps not.
Maybe
a distant cousin.
Who can tell?
Next door neighbor. So she was
roommate.
Maybe oath of domination, whatever it's called. What's it called?
Conquest.
Oath of conquest. Right. So maybe that was like sort of the vibe before she's like really taking levels. Technically, oath of conquest, and it is this idea that like she must swoop down on the weaker people and subdue them and have them submit to her laws, and then there will be order, right? And in so doing, she fails. This is before she's even level one. She like fails over and over and over again, and so she makes a deal with the devil. Yeah.
A small voice creeps inside and says, "Whatever your name is, I like the cut of your jib."
Yeah. I like the reach of your arm and the size of your muscles. Your rock muscles. Pretty badass.
Use them to serve only me.
Right. So as a warlock, you make a pact with. Yeah. So I can make a pact, it says, with the fiend. And then maybe that. And then maybe I could
really
actually use it
idea.
As, maybe I could use it as she didn't even adventure to get four levels. She just was gifted four levels of a paladin by this warlock fiend deal. And she's all of a sudden like, insanely powerful and insightful.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking like, I want you to, while we're sitting here, look up Zariel. Tell me what you think of her and her ways. Zariel. The Archduchess Zariel.
You want me to look at her artwork?
Is that what you're... Z-A-R-I-E-L. Look at her and then just like look into... We'll talk about who she is. Let's just take a little
Zariel. Oh, this might be the fiend you're saying. Zariel was the Lord of Avernus, an archduchess dedicated to winning the unending blood war between devils and demons. Mm-hmm. She was originally an angel of the seven heavens before transforming into an archdevil and falling to the nine hells. Very cool.
Yeah, I like the idea that whether or not you make a pact with Zariel or make it with one of her generals, like in service of her is totally fine either way.
Okay.
But Zariel is kind of the vibe I'm getting from you.
All right.
Right now.
I like this. Yeah. So her name is Beatrice Buttercup. What was it?
Butterplug.
Yeah,
Butterplug. Have some respect, Joe.
You don't have to be related to me, you know.
Well, I like the idea because her name is Beatrice Butterplug, and then she makes a deal with Zariel and changes her name to get rid of that awful, awful last name.
Oh, come on. We're a proud people.
Wait, so are you a Goliath still?
Yeah.
I landed knight.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is where I haven't even... I'm going to think of a name here.
Yeah.
Okay, so all right, I like this. I'll do a dip. Yeah. I'll do a dip.
Dip in. Water's fine. Okay, cool. So I think, is anybody not chosen their third level kind of path? Is anybody scared? Does anybody need a hug?
Their third level path.
Like, you just chose Oath of Conquest, or Oath of Oathbreaker, right? And
oh, you
other
don't choose that until third level. I see.
Yes,
very
exactly.
Cool. Okay.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's great. That gives you some time to like play the character.
Exactly. So if you're not us, right? The thing about first edition that can be really frustrating but also really inviting to new players is you don't have to make a lot of complicated decisions up first. Like something that annoyed me going in was when I played a druid. I was like, I'm a level one druid, and I was like, I turn into a bear, and they were like, no, you don't, because you can't even turn into animals at level one. All I could do was just throw fire at rocks and kick sand. Like, I hated it. But as I leveled up, I got access to more stuff, and it makes the game a little bit easier to learn and grasp onto, because basically most people are going to level up from 1 to 2 after session 1, so it gives everybody a little bit of flavor, you know what I'm saying, at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a great way to intro into D&D and build up from there. A lot of players, once they're past that point, like most of my games, because I'm just like so experienced, most most of my games, we opt, unless we have new players at the table, to all start at level 3 so that we can feel like we're playing the idea that we had in our head, which is what you guys are kind of going through right now. So I typically start my games at level 3 and one shots between 3 and 5, just because if you start before that, it's just you don't really feel like you are a thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what we did with SideQuest. We started right at level 3. And our first campaign that Joe and Skid and I were in, or my first when I got back into it, was we started at 5th level.
Yeah.
Smart!
Wicked smart!
So, sorry, this is just a D&D Beyond interface question. How do I increase at 4th level an ability score by 2 as opposed to increasing...
So you just choose it twice.
Oh, you choose it twice.
Yeah. Okay.
No, that's okay. I want strength and intelligence. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about my abilities. So with the bonuses and everything, I got an 18 strength, 13 dex. It's a little low, but it's fine. 13 con, 16 intelligence, and then I punted wisdom and charisma to an 8. It's interesting. They don't let you, like, grant the ability scores, like, take a 4 wisdom so you can give yourself a 25 con at first level.
No, they have minimum scores, and they do exactly what I do, which is minimize them to the limit that a point by system allows, which is what
you
I always
be ashamed,
do.
And I don't know how you sleep with yourself.
What are you talking about? Some of your ability scores are already like. Don't you have any 8s?
I don't think it's right to talk about that here.
You don't have any 8s in your scores?
No, I might have an 8. An 8 is fine. I think you've got some 7s out there. Don't you tell me you don't have 7s.
That's the minimum in a Pathfinder point by system.
Can we talk about?
I'm just following the rules, Troy, and so are you.
It's dirty, and you should be ashamed. And tell him.
No. Nope.
Gentlemen, order in the court. I would like to know. Okay, hold it. Okay, sit down, Troy. Troy, go in the corner, face the wall. No, I'm kidding. Okay, thank you. So here we go. I want to know what everybody's dump stats. Dump. I can't talk. I'm too excited. Dump stats are. What is the stat that you're going to take a negative in, if you are? Anybody?
Wisdom and charisma.
I dumped strength.
Yeah, me too, in real life. Okay.
I dumped intelligence, wisdom, and charisma.
Oh my god. Oh boy.
And I dumped...
I love it.
I dumped intelligence and wisdom. But my dex con and charisma are looking sweet.
Yeah. Okay. Troy? Or sorry, Troy, you can be last because you're still in timeout.
I already
Joe?
Said
it. Oh, you already said it? You're right.
Yeah, wisdom and charisma.
Okay, fine. All right, welcome back, Troy.
Hi, Joe.
Hello. Yeah, I don't know what to do here. I'm torn.
It's like playing board games with this guy.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. I apologize.
You seem really anxious, and I just want to say you're doing great, kid.
Well, it's just that, like, you know, it's just like anything else. I'm a human being. I want my character to be great at everything.
I know. It's okay.
I think I'm going to... Now,
let me make it easy for you. She can't be.
How much impact does wisdom have on a paladin?
Sure. So let's talk about the easiest way to make these choices for me in D&D, and I do it in other TTRPGs, is when I look at skills, right? Because if you finish out your... let's say you finished out your paladin, right? And then you looked at what skills you were good at, and you're like, well, that doesn't seem like my character. I might then switch, like, int and wiz or something like that. As a paladin, your wisdom is going to make the difference between, like, my paladin who has a high wisdom is like... I see what you're trying to do. Like, you have a really good sense motive or insight check system, right?
Okay.
You're going to be great at insight checks. You're going to be great at, like, animal handling. You're going to be great at things that require you to, like, understand the way the world is, right?
Okay.
Not the intricacies of the world's mysteries, which is intelligence, right? Just the way you have a sense of things, a sense of how things happen. Versus, what was your other choice? Or was
dexterity
it
dexterity or intelligence? Really?
Yeah. So I have another paladin who is like strength, charisma, and then the next stat is intelligence because she's basically like if a paladin could be a bard, that's what she is. So she knows every story. She wants to be. She's an oath of heroism. She wants to be like every hero she's ever read about. Right?
Yeah.
But she bad at understanding people. She bad at it.
Okay.
Right.
I got you. I got you. So I might just have to not max my strength in order to get some of the points around that I want. And then take a 16 strength as opposed to an 18.
Keep in mind that and I'm not telling you you're wrong. Your fun is not wrong. But I find that as a paladin, your biggest strength is that burst damage. And if you cannot hit, then you are going to become very probably frustrated that you're not able to do the thing that your paladin is known for being able to do.
Yeah, I just didn't know if it would be a waste because there's so many people just laying out massive damage. But it sounds, you keep saying this, and that the paladin is known for burst damage. I just haven't seen it, so I'm excited to. I will build up the strength and then see what that burst damage looks like.
No,
right, exactly.
Okay. He's never been frustrated with a roll. I don't know what you're talking about.
Ever. Yeah.
All right. So what I'm going to do is dump intelligence. I'm going to dump intelligence.
Yeah, yeah.
2 and 8. And then I'm just going to take a 10 dex, and I'm going to do 12 wisdom to have a little bit of insight, and then max strength and charisma.
Yeah.
Nice.
I love a low intelligent peon warlock. It's my favorite.
Awesome.
Because how else would you have made such a bad deal?
Right, right. Good call.
It's not good what you've done. I can't believe you've done this. All right, great. So let's revisit as Villain Squad, the Hellraisers, we'll call them. As Villain Squad.
The Butterplug.
The Butterplug.
Calling ourselves the Butterplug.
A Butterplug operation.
He threw it out there early on.
They're not.
You guys want to go with the Butterplugs? No?
All right, fine. No one? Okay, Hellraiser's fine. Good. You'll come to it on your own. let's think about what you guys were trying to do, right? That would either end the world or bring it into a new Supreme Order, the First Order in Faerun. What does that feel like? How did these losers come to love each other?
Well, I can tell you that my guy is a... I chose the background failed merchant. So,
amazing.
Because envy is his sin.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice, nice.
So I figured he was once a chef who opened a restaurant and dry goods store combination. He thought it was a great business model. And he was quickly put out of business by a large chain restaurant who opened across the street. And he just doesn't understand why all these other people should
get what he wants.
Get
yeah.
what I want.
This is the plot to Big Night.
Matthew, that sounds...
So he turned so familiar. To sorcery.
I'm sorry. Did you
if
tell me
Stanley
what race
Tucci
you had chosen?
Could have been a storm sorcerer.
Tony Shalhoub.
Sorry. Go ahead, Ann.
No. I'm so sorry. Did you choose a race?
Yes, I'm a changeling.
Oh, right.
Oh,
we
that's
talked
right.
about how much I loved it, awesome. And then I forgot. Okay, fantastic. Great.
So I'm throwing that out there to say, perhaps we could mobilize this guy's energy and envy to take something down.
Yeah. Because amber is the color of your energy,
exactly.
Right?
Ooh.
That's what I hear.
Whoa. No 311 fans out there? Just me? Come on.
Just me? Okay, cool. Okay. So then we've got our...
How much should I care about backgrounds? Are they like traits where it's very just small bones, small mechanical bonuses?
So yes, you should absolutely pick a background.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely pick a background. However, the other stuff where you have to roll for your traits and stuff, don't worry about that. You guys know how to be people.
Right. Yes.
You can do those if you want, but I never do that. I don't need to be told who to be. That's my fun. Don't take it from me. Yeah, so background is going to give you probably another extra skill bonus or some extra equipment or a bonus attribute somewhere, a bonus skill, something like that. So you definitely want one.
And can I ask a question that's not related to any of this?
Yeah, sure.
Were you DMing when we were in college?
No, I wasn't.
When did you start?
So I started DMing after college, and I was playing before that. So I played a little bit in high school. There was somebody, my theater teacher's son, who was a couple years older, was hey, do you want to come over one weekend? Not in a weird sensual way. Like, just because I lived at school and I could never leave because I went to boarding school. And so he and his sister, who I was really good friends with, like, invited me to come over for the weekend. He's like, I think you would really like Dungeons and Dragons. And so we played and it was really fun. And that's how I started playing. And I made an elf ranger because I'm basic AF. And I had a great time because I'm basic. And that's kind of how I started. And then I wasn't really playing in college because I was playing a lot of World of Warcraft. Let's not talk too much about it.
That I remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nerd.
I played with a lot.
I didn't know you were a nerd.
You knew.
There's been no evidence. Bring this on us like this?
There's just no evidence. I would have thought
the headphones gave away.
Give yourself a wedgie for us.
I just don't understand. Let's see here. So I started DMing probably like 5 years ago, and I did it on and off for mostly like for one shots because I have a friend who's very much like, I can't not DM. If I'm not DMing, I'm not having fun. I don't like it and I'm not having fun. And so I was like, well, I don't care about it that much. Like, you can do it. And then now I DM a game that I've been DMing for a while and one shots every once in a while. So yeah, I like it. I like one shots because they like give you a chance to play like something that you're not going to have to be anxious about living with for a long time. So I find that people are more likely to make like big, strong choices in a one shot and be unafraid to like lose their character in a cool way.
Yeah, you're less precious.
Not everybody has a problem with that in normal campaign play, but some people get really precious about it. So yeah, I like it.
Nice.
Thanks for your question, Matthew.
I was like, was she doing this the whole time? And I was like, I could have been playing fun role-playing games in college.
I know, me too. Well, see, like, I always wanted to find somebody who played, but I was always so nervous. In art school, everybody kind of like, you know, did what they were supposed to do. It was already weird that I like played video games. And I got enough kind of like, I didn't get like bullied for it or anything like that. People were just like, oh, you're that person. Like, and I didn't want to be even more that person, which now I've just embraced that about myself. It's who I am and I can't escape it no matter how hard I try. So why try? So yeah.
Thank you for answering that question.
Of course.
Are we at description or equipment or is everybody good on abilities?
When you get to your equipment, right, it's going to give you the option. Let me fast forward through my build of this barbarian so I can be there with you. Okay, so it's gonna say like starting equipment. What do you want? Choose equipment, basically, and then it's going to give you your options.
Oh wow, they make it as cookie cutter
super
as possible.
Super yeah. As yeah, so you can either choose to get the gold that you would start with and then it would let you buy what you want, but there's really like you could just do this, it's fine.
This is great,
right?
This is the worst part of character creation in Pathfinder.
Yes, I
agree.
Know
agree yep.
I agree
and this
some people love
sense.
It
you can hem and people who like to hem and haw over choices love it, but at this point I just want to start playing. And so I like that this kind of gives you the options that you would have. Again, this is where your background is going to come in. Your barbarian gets certain things. Your background is going to give you a certain amount of money on top of this. You know, all that stuff kind of comes into play here. And the thing that I really like about D&D Beyond, again, hashtag not sponsored, but in particular, is that it really makes it easy to see what your options are and just select them. And understand kind of what they mean, right? Now, this, don't miss out on this because we said we were going to talk about spells, right? So here we are. Once you've picked your equipment, you're going to be able to pick spells. I can't because this is a, you know what? Let me go into my bard for a second so I can look at that.
Where are spells? Should it show up here?
Yeah, so let me just check because now I don't remember where exactly it shows up and I don't want to give you the wrong. Very confusing situation.
Do I care about component pouch versus arcane focus for a sorcerer?
No, because here's the deal. I'm not going to make you guys worry about whether or not you have like three rubies in the shape of a heart to cast your spells in this one shot. Like, I would worry more about that in campaign play. Like, if you're, I think you know, an example is if you're playing through Curse of Strahd, which is a very like grim goth, like everything is very hard to obtain tale, then components really matter because you wouldn't just have a diamond worth 1,000 gold to revivify your friend, right? So those things matter. Here in this one shot world, I'm going to assume that you guys have been adventuring for 5 levels together and have prepared yourself for the situation. So don't worry too much about like whether or not you have a component pouch. Like just choose one that you, if you imagine your sorcerer casting through an orb or casting through a, you know, a tree branch or whatever you have in your mind.
If I could real quick shout out this game and also give a little tease for our 9 p.m. Stream tonight.
Please.
Blades in the Dark. Phenomenal game. This equipment system is so awesome.
The best.
The best ever. Here's what it is. I can tell it to you in 1 minute. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You decide before you go on your encounter, essentially, and it's a long encounter. It's sort of like a little crawl, right?
Your session.
Your session. You decide, are you going to bring a lot of stuff, bring like a medium level stuff, bring light stuff, or bring no stuff? And then you get an encumbrance based on that. That's all you decide. Then, during the mission, if something comes up and you need something, if you chose the heaviest encumbrance, you could grab 6 random things over the course of the adventure that you need. And each one you cross off, once you've used 6, you've used 6. And then if you did the slightly lighter one, you get like 4. Slightly lighter one, 2, and the other one, 0. You get no items to use to help you during your mission. But it might be you're trying to do an assassination attempt, or you're trying to be real quiet, you don't want to be... Mm-hmm. I just love the system. And so you do no gear buy. You just go in and play, and then whatever you need, you have. But you can only do that so many times, and then right. You run out. Really fun. Really cool. Now, it's a different kind of game. It doesn't have as much, you know, like, you have to, you know, adventure over land and encounter things you don't know about every time. Like, so it's different, but I just love the system. And we're playing it That's tonight, awesome. 9 o'clock.
That's exciting.
Tonight, just a couple hours. Anne, I have a question for you. I chose Eldritch Knight because I was under the impression that I was going to get some spells.
Yes, so and let's
I'm,
talk
I'm
about
not seeing
spells.
Anything here, so yeah, I feel like okay. I was lied so, to, and I'm yep, out.
I know,
out.
I know. And I did. I lied to you so that you would abandon me in your final hours of frustration. No, here's what's up. You're going to click all the way through your creation process to what's next, okay. And then you're going to click view character sheet.
Oh, boy. That's okay. I'll do it.
And do we get attuned magic items? I saw that as an option. Do we get sweet attuned magic items?
So only you grab. Here's the next thing you must choose.
Okay.
Wait.
Now, if we hit... How close are we to 25,000?
24,246.
All right. Ooh. If we hit... Here's the deal. If we hit $25,000 raised during this stream, and you have like, what, half an hour left, the next 27 minutes, I will give you 2 magical items.
What?
What?
But if we don't, you only get one.
Hold on.
I did not clear this with them beforehand. They have to do it because I said so.
Let me get my wife's credit card.
Let me get my wallet. Hold on.
So if you want to help these boys, you know, this is your chance.
Wow, that's cool, Anne. That's
great. So you can have one, as of right now, you may have 1 uncommon magical item.
We can choose those maybe a little later, right?
You can choose those later. You don't need to, you can look over them now, right? Awesome. Like you don't have to choose.
And we also want to, I'm sorry if I missed this. I've been just reading so much about this stuff.
You're
so
fine.
For spells, a paladin, and you just, you know all these spells. You just prepare which ones.
You prepare which ones every day that you want. Okay so here's
can
here's
you
what,
leave slots unprepared and prepare them later in the day? Or do you have to,
no,
in the morning,
you
prepare
choose.
All your
in the,
slots?
It's like everybody's around the campfire being like, hoity-doity-do, eating eggs, picking spells. That's gotcha. How it be. So here is the deal. When you click through to your character sheet, Troy, I'm going to answer your question.
Yeah, I'm there.
And anybody else who has spells, you'll click spells, right? And then you're going to click underneath where it says your modifier, which is what's your Don't worry about that, actually. It'll say your spell attack bonus, which is if you're rolling an attack on a spell, then that's what you're adding to it. And then your spell save DC is right there next to it. And then underneath that, you can search spells by name if you're looking for something particular. But what you're going to want to do to choose your spells is click Manage Spells.
Now,
and then,
let me ask you this. Sorry to interrupt, but if I, as an Eldritch Knight, once I pick a spell, that's it? Or every day I can relearn? Is it like a wizard, more like those are my spells until I learn more or find a spell book?
As in, wait, sorry,
or
say
is
that
it
one more
time.
More
like a spontaneous caster. Like, once I choose my however many spells I know, is that it? Like, can I wake up the next day and be like, I don't want to cast Fireball anymore. I want to cast this.
So I need to look that up for Eldritch Knight in particular.
Okay, I'm sure the chat is already popping off on this. Eldritch Knight is like a sorcerer, a spontaneous caster. I think I've chosen the best class. I'm really excited.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you, chat. Because I was like, ooh, I don't know. Yeah, so you're going to pick at levels, unlike a wizard that has true true freedom to choose every day what they're going to prepare.
The donations are just going like this. I love you guys.
Oh my God, you're the best.
Thank you so much,
help
Nate.
Us out. Help
you
us
know
out.
What would have been funny is like you should have started us with three magic items and been like, if they get to 25,000, I'll start taking away magic items. You would have, we would have hit it in seconds.
That's the difference between you and me, truly. No, that's amazing. Okay.
Wow.
So,
I'm having trouble understanding how many spells of each level I can know.
Absolutely. So, I will help you.
This character sheet is, I said this before when we played the last time, it is gorgeous.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's incredible.
They've done such a cool job with organizing it, and it looks good on your phone. It looks good on your tablet.
You can look on your phone?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah. So that one is, I don't like using it if I can look at a screen just because I can see everything on my screen a little bit easier, but you can use it. It works beautifully in just like, you don't use the app. You just use like, go to the browser and type in D&D Beyond. That's perfect. Okay. So adding spells, right? So when
seems
you...
Like I get to know five cantrips. That I figured out. But then it says known spells, 0 of 6.
Right. So known spells are between your first, second, and third. What's the highest level of spell you can cast?
It looks like
what is it telling you?
I can cast third level spells.
Okay. So between all of those, you have 6 spells that you can know. So you can have like a couple third level spells, right? But
right.
It's like you're not going to have as many spell slots to cast them. So think about that.
Oh, snap. Witch Bolt?
Mm-hmm,
that is fucking awesome.
Yeah. Now, Troy, I do want you to keep in mind, or you might be unhappy, you are going to have to roll to concentrate on things when you get hit, and you are going to be in melee as a fighter. So you may want to not pick things that require concentration as much and are just like, I hit, I do a thing, because otherwise you will have a chance of losing your concentration on...
Real. So is concentration spells. A lot? I mean, what makes that different from Pathfinder? I feel like with concentration, you just, like if we start the battle and I'm 20 feet back, I'll open with a volley of a witch bolt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then get in there and start smashing with my warhammer, by the way.
Yes. Ooh. Ooh.
And so then I don't have to worry about concentration so much.
You know? Have to worry because if you get hit while you're in melee, you're still concentrating on that spell for the spell's duration.
For example, so which bow would be a bad choice then?
So I wouldn't say it's bad because there's so many other options of people that they can hit. Depending on how battle starts out, if you make yourself less attractive as a target, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe it's okay, right? But yeah, I'm just warning you because I know Joe also mentioned yesterday, like wanting to know, like, I don't want to make any fatal flaws that I'm going to be frustrated with due to like wanting to min-max and have the best possible option.
Right.
So you do what you want because I do think that as someone with very few spell slots as an Eldritch Knight, right, maximizing what you can do with that magic is great, which is one of the reasons I love Witch Bolt as like a warlock because I can just keep, you know, activating it every turn. So Witch Bolt is great, but I just want to warn you that you're more likely to have to roll concentration checks.
Makes sense.
If that is true, you may want to make sure that you have some numbers up in your con to make your constitution save higher.
All right, you've talked me out of it. However, Someone stick Witch Bolt because it's fucking cool. You hit somebody 1d12 damage, and then that person that got hit, every round you can burn an action. Just give, keep giving it 1d12
damage. So the damage. Other thing that, cool. that we should talk about is the for the casters that we have between our Warlock and our Sorcerer, how your stuff works a little bit differently, right? So Matt has the ability to... I'm sorry, Matthew. Matthew,
no,
I'm
call
so sorry.
Him Matt.
Did you see the stink face he gave you? He went...
I just wanted his attention.
Up. Yeah.
I looked it was up a stink to acknowledge face, me being addressed.
No, I know. I'm sorry I didn't use your full proper it's name, totally Matthew. All right. Matthias.
Matthew Riley.
I always imagine his like dirty buddies from Jersey that he grew up with on the occasions that he can actually see them and hang out with them be like, hey, you still got them nerds calling you Matthew. Like they all call him Matt, obviously. He's just Matt from Jersey. Like that's who he is.
That's who
his mama makes the best gravy. The best gravy on the block.
Here's the deal, right? So for Matthew, as a... I can't go on. I quit. This is it. That's what broke me. So as a sorcerer... Hold on, let me just look this up to make sure I don't tell you the wrong thing. Wild. Magic wild.
We're $99 away.
Oh,
and we just hit it.
Are you kidding me? Wow.
$25,001.
That is God. Insane,
that's incredible. That is absolutely incredible.
Wow. I'm so glad. Thank you, guys.
You're doing so much
good.
Yeah, good call, Anne.
That was fun. That was really fun.
Anne.
Thank you, guys.
I'm a part of this. Woo! I have
two magic items, dude. Oh, yeah. It's over. You're going to have to start buffing encounters now.
True. No, I've made them really hard. I've been concerned. So I am, because I've been told to be. Hold on, I got distracted by joy, so you'll have to excuse me. All right, wild magic sorcerer 5e.
Oh, that's very helpful. Do all the spells with the diamond by them, do those mean class spells?
The spells with the diamond by them, I believe, mean concentration.
Ah, got it.
That means you're going to have to
hold
think
my concentration. Got it.
Oh, this is really great because of all the spells that scale up to higher levels that I chose appear both as the level they are, and then in blue underneath the level I could cast them at. So I could I chose Magic Missile because why not? And
yep.
I can see it at first level, and then I can see it on my sheet at second level. And I can see it on my sheet.
Exactly.
That is great.
And the other cool thing that you'll be able to do is I'm going to have you all donate. I'm going to have you all donate to charity. No, I'm going to have you all download an extension that will allow you to roll from these character sheets directly into Roll20. So I'll be able to see everything in Roll20.
I already have it, Anne.
Okay, great. Good. I'm so happy for you. Thank you.
Wow, very unslothful of you. Good job.
A plus.
Great. Granted, to get it out of the way before I get into character.
Yeah, extra credit for Skid. Okay. Okay.
Well,
so
I guess I won't need these then.
Where we're going, we don't need dice.
So spell slots. Sorcerer table shows you how many spell slots you have. We've already talked about that. You know, two spells of first level are higher, yada, yada, yada. Sorcerer's orange is five. Okay, so at second level, you tap into a deep wellspring of magic within yourself. And this wellspring is well represented by sorcery points that allow you to create a variety of magical effects. Did you choose these in your character creation?
I did.
Okay, tell me what you chose.
My metamagic effects, you mean?
Yes, that is what I meant.
Okay, I'm just trying to find it on my sheet. I originally chose the slothiest metamagic feats, but then when I changed to envy, like quicken spell and subtle spell, so I wouldn't have to spend the effort to talk. But then I changed it, and now I can't find them. Where are they?
Okay, they'll probably be in your... up your butt. No, I'm kidding. They'll be in your actions. If you click actions on your sheet.
I found it.
Yeah.
Okay, I took subtle spell.
Okay, which
so
means?
I can spend a sorcery point to cast a spell without any somatic or verbal components.
Okay. Great,
and then
so
I
you can sneaky.
Be sneaky, right, because, you know, he always wants things he can't have. And then I chose heightened spell, so I can spend 3 sorcery points to give one target disadvantage on its first saving throw against the spell.
Perfect. Okay, that's great. That's great.
They always save, Anne. All these other people,
I know.
They get to save. Why don't I get to save?
Why don't I? Why not me?
This
okay,
needs to be a show, by the way. Just us.
Making so characters. Fun. Why not?
We got more viewers than side sets the other night.
I mean, what can I say? I'm just here. No.
We just needed a little Anne.
Touch of mama.
And I'm responding to the chat here. I looked at Twin, but that felt really generous, and I just don't think this guy has it in him to be generous.
Sure. Yeah, twin spell is another good one. So that's, you're going to be able to use those, unlike other spellcasters who are limited to what their particular things are that they can do with their individual spells, you can kind of offset, like with surges, like what your spells are capable of doing with your metamagic feats. Now, when it comes to warlocks, the great thing about warlocks is your spell slots reset every time you take a long rest. So every time you rest for an hour, you get everything back. However, I believe you only have 2 or 3 spell slots at level 5.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking at my spells now. I see my number of known spells, and then I'm just looking at my spell slots on the sheet.
Spell slots are... Okay, so you're going to have... all your spell slots are level 3. It also automatically... You always cast your spells at the highest possible level.
Oh, excellent.
And you're going to have spell slots... You're going to have 2 spell slots. Okay. So every short rest, you can cast 2 spells, but you can cast also your cantrips. That's like leveled spells.
Got it.
So you can cast
So I ended up picking out a pretty cool set of spells, but now that I only have 2 slots, it's going to be hard to choose them between them, but they're all pretty cool. Can I run them by you?
You may. I'd love if you would. In fact, I insist.
Okay. I ended up adding... I'll skip past the cantrips and kind of go to the major ones. I took Eldritch Blast, because I think that's part of my kind of build. But I took Hex, Shield, Blur, Branding Smite, Blink, and Elemental Weapon.
Say them again so that I can think in my head.
Sure.
Go back, yeah.
I got Hex.
Yep.
Shield.
Yep.
Blur.
Yeah.
Branding Smite, which is a bonus of radiant damage on there. But is radiant damage good damage, or does it not matter?
What do you mean, is it good?
Radiant sounds like it's lawful good to me in my head as an adjective. Okay.
It's radiant is simply of a god.
Got it. Perfect.
Like you can I like to say in my games, you can describe radiant in whatever way, like the same way that in your terms, my dearest Dove Grant, as Solarian could be either photon or graviton.
Right.
Like those, it's different sources, but from the same kind of energy.
Right.
Kind of system.
And then Blink is so cool. You roll a d20 at the end of each turn for the duration of the spell.
Mm-hmm.
On a roll of 11 or higher, you vanish from the current plane of existence and appear in the ethereal plane.
Yep.
At the start of your next turn, and when the spell ends, if you are on the ethereal plane, you return to an unoccupied space of your choice that you can see within 10 feet of the space you vanished from. Playing Tracer. It's amazing.
Yeah, you're basically Tracer. The cavalry is in fact here.
Cavalry's
And exactly. So ultimately, I think you've made a lot of strong choices. I would even say that you could afford to trade out Shield for something else offensive.
Offensive. Do you have any offensive spells you like?
I like Witch Bolt.
Okay, Witch Bolt's back in, baby.
Oh. You see, now there's a good spell.
Yeah, there's a good spell that's good for you and bad for Troy.
I've chosen some spells that are offensive.
Yeah, not like offensive to
offensive.
Offensive. Good.
Can I run
How
them
would
by you?
Yes, offend me.
So I'm allowed 4. I know 4 first level spells.
Yeah.
So I can't believe it. I'm sitting here on D&D 5e Eldritch Knight guides.
I'm on the Paladin
spells.
Guide.
Yeah, he said he wouldn't do it, but look how much we're having fun.
Look at me.
We're having fun, boys.
I can't stop. I'm pretty fired up. I mean, it's just nerds love being nerds. So I chose, you tell me if fuck that. Absorb elements. Sounds really cool.
That's great. That's great for you being up front.
Shield. I feel like, I know you said you poo-pooed his shield, but if for me... I got to worry about concentrating. Like, Shield might be a good first when I see a real bad enemy coming up.
Shield, yeah. Mm-hmm. Go for it.
fog cloud. And my thinking for this is dirty. It's that he casts this sometimes when he's reaping his spoils after
Jesus
a battle. He might see a lovely chest of drawers, for example, or something. And so he drops a fog cloud and goes to town. And then I wanted to take Find Familiar, but I wanted to know if it had to be limited to an animal, if I could call, like, an inanimate object to come flying in.
Oh. Let's do it. Okay, let's do like a little, you know what? I know you hate homebrew. You hate it.
No, that's okay.
That's okay if it benefits me.
Right. It's
okay,
one night only.
100%.
Okay, it's one night only. Okay. So, I like this. I like this, and I kind of want to make it a mimic familiar.
A mimic familiar?
Yeah, like,
ooh,
we'll
the one
tone
that got
it down.
Away.
We'll tone it down, right? But like, it's like, is it an object? Is it a creature?
This
Why
might
not?
Be.
Por que no los dos?
Yeah, maybe this is how this all started. It was he thought it was just a not alive treasure chest, and he just was about to do what he was going to do.
Yeah.
Turns out it was alive, and it turned into a love affair.
Exactly.
The likes of which they will write about in the histories for years
so
to come.
So what would you like your familiar to be? What's its form? Like, mimic form of...
Oh, I just thought they were always treasure chests. There are mimics that aren't treasure chests.
They could be literally anything. You could have, like, a mimic that's an alarm clock.
I was just going to say, a grandfather clock.
Yeah, that's
no,
not
that's amazing.
I'd like a mimic that's a grandfather clock whose name is Maxine.
Okay, I'm going to put that in my notes.
And it is his former lover.
So it does, I am going to say, here's where I'm going to come down as your friendly neighborhood GM in Richmond, a.k.a. Okay. Hardsinger Games. I love your idea. I need it to be like a miniature grandfather clock. If you have
what are you trying to say about old Bodie?
I think you know.
Be a normal size? Anyways.
I think you know. No, I think it's important that it not be so game-breaking by being so gigantic.
Yeah, no, something you put on your mantle, for example.
Exactly,
yeah.
like a tchotchke you picked up on a trip to Neverwinter, and it says, like, thanks for coming.
I like that.
At a store.
Oh, Neverwinter.
There's also a bit that Matt Besser did on his comedy album "May I Help You, Dumbass?" Revolves around a miniature grandfather clock. So it'd be a great tribute to the brilliant comedian Matt Besser.
I love me some Matt Besser.
It's kind of Cogsworth. Like, I'm not gonna lie, it's kind of Cogsworth from Beauty and the Beast a little bit.
That's what I was thinking. I don't know if Troy.
I haven't seen that, but I did take as my flaw before I knew that we were going to do this.
Yeah.
I made a terrible mistake in battle that cost many lives, and I would do anything to keep that mistake secret. And I think it involved this miniature grandfather clock.
All right, so I'm going to have us return because we're winding down, guys. We're coming to the end of it. I got to know what you guys were trying to do as a group because I need to noodle on that this week.
Ooh, right.
I will give you options and you may choose so that you don't have to. Okay.
Yes. Okay, go ahead.
You were trying to help a demigod ascend to the pantheon as a full god.
Not bad. Not a bad start.
You were trying to. Sorry, I got excited. You were trying to help a corrupt official take over Baldur's Gate.
Ooh.
You used a word we know.
You used a word. I said ooh. Or let's see. What else? What else could you be doing? You could be trying to open up the walls between all the planes to create chaos.
No.
Oh, you don't like that one. Okay.
Lawful evil, man.
Lawful,
I really like
I
the
no.
corrupt official thing.
I'm chaotic evil, so that was right up my alley. Maybe that was what I was doing.
I mean, blessed by Zariel, this is like she hates demons. So I'd love to.
But she is the Archduchess of Hell now.
No,
she's,
I know.
But she's
I
with don't. Devils. Yeah, she's an Archduchess.
But so she's not going to be into opening chaos portals for demons to pour through. So I think I'm down with corrupt an official to take over Baldur's Gate. Come on,
yeah.
That's awesome.
Can we all be just tax collectors? That's like the most evil thing we could do to help a corrupt official, right?
Yeah. So we'll go from there. Something goes terribly wrong, and in the final battle to enact this, something terrible happens. Are we telling people where we're going for this one shot, or are we saving it?
Man, this is your party. Okay. Get him, so guys, get him. It's all about that tease.
Who they did get us to 25.
Yeah, I mean, they did. I gotta give them something. Guys, can you guess where I'm taking these sweet, soft boys to die?
First it's a miniature grandfather clock, and now it's soft.
We're going to hell, boys. We're going to Avernus. Bring out those infernal war machines.
Somebody
bring
wrote
out
Cleveland?
Sorry.
Cleveland. Like IHOP.
Yeah. We are going to Avernus. For anyone who is excited about potentially checking out, first of all, on my stream, I've been playing a lot of Baldur's Gate, the early access. So I've been super into that. I'm personally playing in the Avernus campaign right now, by myself, just by myself in a room.
Just by yourself?
Just by myself. I've been playing in an Avernus game. It's great. I super, super love it. And this will be outside, like, it will be in the world that Avernus presents, but it will be outside of any of the things that happen in the game. So if you want to watch this to see if this campaign might be right for your table, this will be a great time to kind of get a sense of what it feels like to be in Avernus without getting spoiled on anything.
And just ignore everything Troy does to inanimate objects, because that won't happen in your game.
That's not canonical in favor. No.
Yeah.
It's hell, man. Things get weird now.
So we are going to Avernus. I'm super, super excited. I've already come up with so many great NPCs that I'm just like very sad that you have to deal with. And also excited for you to do with them.
Man, this has all the makings of maybe more than one night only.
I know. That's what's so scary. Don't even say it, LaValle.
Hey, well, blame Anne. She killed it tonight. Give it up for Anne, huh?
Good job, Anne. Good job, Anne.
Thanks, guys.
There are so many cool spells. It's insane. And I've taken so many of the darker ones because of this story and
just
this build.
Lean in.
So freaking cool. Yeah. And I was just, did you know that for a warlock, I don't know if it's for everybody, but True Strike is a cantrip. You just use an action and you get advantage on the next roll.
Oh, so it's advantage instead of that.
I will say that, okay, yeah. So I will say that the, there are a lot of magical weapons if you want. Now that chat has earned you two, I'm happy to just pick two for each of you and give them to you so that you don't have to like spend. I would rather have you guys spend time thinking about your characters and being like, oh God, what's that thing I want to have? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can send me a wish list. Please. Like, I wish it was my axe.
I'll just
throw stuff your way. I'll look at your completed character sheets and I will add some special things to them.
I have a name as well.
Okay.
She has been assigned a new name by Zariel, the Archduchess of Avernus, who corrupted Beatrice. And Beatrice comes to her brother and says, I am no longer a Beatrice. I am no longer Beatrice. You shall now call me Annihilisa. She is going to destroy the entire fucking world. And I'm very excited. Goliath, Paladin 4, Warlock 1.
This is going to be awesome!
I think it's going to be great. I will tell you that I don't think you should take True Strike.
Yeah, everyone in the chat.
No, everyone's saying no.
Everyone in the chat is like, True Strike is garbage, and so are you.
It's garbage because you think about it this way.
You wasted an action.
You are wasting an action, which would be two attacks to get advantage on one attack a turn from now.
Well, it makes a lot more sense why it's a.
Yeah, but think about the history of Joe's rolling. It's like finally a chance.
I know.
For
when
him.
I see True Strike, I'm like, this is amazing.
I know.
I have not selected all my warlock spells. I was just because those are spontaneous casting, right? Like you pick them and those are your spells.
Yeah.
Paladin, it's cool. You have more flexibility day to day. So I'm gonna sleep on this and
think about it.
What are the arms
of Hadar? The last thing I'll tell you is that because you've all been such good boys, you will all receive one inspiration to start the game with, which means that you get one reroll.
Ooh.
Joe, I'm looking at you.
Thank you.
Because I believe that you deserve this. And the rest of you are just getting it because I'm fair. No, I'm kidding. No, everybody did great with your character creation.
You did great, Anne. You did fantastic. Yeah. Thank you for guiding us through this.
Super,
this is
super
awesome.
Excited to play with you guys. It'll be great.
Anne, thank you. And one of the best things you did is you ended right on time. I mean, just keeping that schedule.
Such a pro.
I tried to.
Such a pro. Guys,
I know what you like, LaValle.
It's all about punctuality. Guys and gals watching the stream, first of all, thank you for the donations. I don't want to seem greedy. That's not the right word, because this is going to a great cause, but let's keep them coming. We have hours of more streaming. Skid is going to be bloodshot eyes through the end of the night. You should give him as much as you're able to do. It goes to a wonderful cause, and the world needs some love right now. Let's keep it going. Coming up next is going to be Skid and Grant playing some fucking Star Wars Squadrons.
Yeah!
Amazing.
That's happening right now, right after this. And then 9 o'clock, Blades in the Dark. Joe and I are joining our buddies over at Stream of Blood. And then after that, it's a late night with Skid. And you never know what's going to happen and who's going to pop by. Thank you for watching this. Be sure to join us next Friday, the 13th. Friday the 13th, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here, twitch.tv/theglasscannon for D&D 5e. One night only?
Question mark?
Stop
hell.
It. Stop it.
Question mark?
I hate it. I'm so angry.
Thank you, Anne, and thank you, Nash.
Good night, Ked. Well, can I say good night,
guys? Bye, guys.
See you in a minute.
Good dinner.
Amazing.
Good dinner.